This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual in studio with me this morning, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Not very good, but... But let's get the best part of the day out of the way real quick. The best part of the day, it's Mother's Day today.
And it's sunny out.
And it's sunny outside. The sun did come up yesterday morning. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. My mom, my mother-in-law, my wife, and my daughter. So I'll wish all the other mothers out there a fantastic Mother's Day. So that's the best part of this show, Naz. Also joining us this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Washington Capital, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, guys. You know what? What a great morning. What a great weekend it's been.
Yeah, well, except for Friday night. And also joining us this morning, the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning, boys. It's I'm in Florida still, and it's sunny and warm here today as well.
You haven't sold out to the enemy, have you?
You're waiting for game six, eh, Mike?
Well, I'm heading there in an hour.
Oh, you're heading down. Anyways.
Sunrise, yeah. I'm in Sarasota, so we're driving over in an hour, yeah.
Anyways, you're in enemy territory right now, Mike. Anyways, before we get into it, coming on later in the hour, we're going to do something fun today. We've had a lot of disappointment in Leafs Nation. Of course, I'm sure everybody out there listening this morning is aware of what happened to our beloved Leafs Friday night. It's been a history over the course of the last 10 years. In fact, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the meltdown, the 4-1 meltdown against Boston 10 years ago. We've got Dr. Patrick Keelan, who's a registered psychologist, PhD. He's done some work with sports psychology, and maybe he can come on and give us some help in overcoming our psychological distress or that of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Guys, I'm going to get something off my chest. I'm going to get it. I'm going to do my rant right at the beginning. And I spent quite a bit of time with Lou on the phone yesterday morning. Got a lot of it out of my system. But I want to, I got to say this, and then we can get on and perhaps be a little bit more constructive. Wasn't happy about the result Friday night. Couple of areas where, the overtime goal, and I hate to blame a loss on the refs, but how you don't call Gudas holding Yarncroc's stick in that moment when Yarncroc's trying to make a defensive play on Nick Cousins before and it's blatant, the ref's right there, it's overtime, it assists Florida scoring that goal, may not win the Leafs the series, but how you don't call that, the ref should be embarrassed. I don't know if they saw it, if they didn't see it, they should have seen it. I'm tired of these games coming down. You know, you look at last year, Justin Hall getting called for interference. Tavares scores the goal. The Phantom 5-on-3 against Tampa in Game 6. Guys, I'm tired of this. How he doesn't make that call is absolutely beyond me. The announcers, I didn't see any reference to it in any of the announcers. The post-game shows, nobody said boo about it until I saw the video evidence after the game and looked at it and said, how do you don't call that? It's beyond belief. My last rant, and I'll turn it over to you guys, and you can tell me I'm all crazy, and I certainly need the services of Dr. Patrick Keelan today. Leafs got pushed around the whole series. They got pushed around. They didn't push back. There was no moments when I saw any pushback. Their captain, Tavares, almost gets decapitated by Sam Bennett, who leaves his feet and doesn't get called. And your captain sprawled all over the ice. Nobody does anything about it. Nothing. No pushback. And Gudas, after the goal, is screaming in Joseph Hull's face, taunting him. Like, nobody steps in and you know, and Nez, help me out here. Nobody steps in and says, you don't talk to my goalie in front of the net point in time?
We should talk to the psychologist.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. I certainly need the services of Dr. Patrick Keelan today. Anyways, guys, I got it out of my system. I'm not happy. I got it. You know, we got all summer to recuperate. Naz, I'll turn it over to you.
What a mess were you going to be involved with now, with trying to figure this thing out with the lease and who to keep and who to let go and who to get under the salary cap, because it's going to be very tough.
It's certainly going to be tough. Lou, I know in our conversation yesterday, Mike, just be patient there. We'll get to you real shortly because I'm sure you've got a lot of things you want to say. Lou, we talked yesterday, and thankfully we weren't on the air yesterday morning. Your thoughts on this series? We should have been happy that we got past the first round. That seemed to be a major accomplishment. But there's something about this that doesn't just feel right. We lost to a team that had to have Chicago beat Pittsburgh on the last game of the season to even make the playoffs. Your reaction to the whole series?
Disappointing is probably the biggest word. Concerning. Obviously, the Leafs didn't see what Florida did to Boston in the first round. No pushback, no compete level. Blow this thing up. Start with Marner.
Mike, I'll turn it over to you. I know the part about it's not these guys are professional athletes. It's not that it's a lack of trying. They're trying. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not doing their best to compete. But how do you break this series down? Why do we, other than, you know, Bobrovsky stands on his head for five games, how do we lose to a team that finished 19 points behind us in the regular season?
Well, we finished 46 points behind the Boston in Boston lost. Okay, so the thing is, listen, last time I was on the show, and I don't want to pump my own tires here, but I said, and everybody scoffed me, I was on a number of radio stations, and I said, if Florida makes the playoffs, they will beat Boston. And I got yelled at and laughed at and all that stuff. Remember, this team was the President's Cup champions last year and lost in the second round four straight to Tampa. This wasn't a bunch of beer leaguers they played against. This is a real good hockey club that plays tough. And you're right, Lou. They didn't look at the way they played Boston. Boston, who's the bully in the schoolyard, got a taste of their own medicine with the cross checks, the hits after the whistle and all that, and they went running back to their bench. But what disturbs me is that everybody's all over the Maple Leafs, but, you know, I'm not going to sound like a fan here, but, you know, game three, Austin Matthews scores in the first minute. You know, all of a sudden it goes off the crossbar, or in the third period, it goes off Bobrovsky's shoulder, and nine times out of ten, that's top shelf. And then all of a sudden the other night, the wraparound, he misses. And in an overtime, Bobrovsky makes a great save on him. But with those four goals go in, which are normally Austin Matthews' goals, guess what? They're heading to Carolina tomorrow. So that's how close this really is. And that's what people have to get on, they got to get this out of their heads that this team didn't, you know, I see these stupid comments in the paper about choking and sad sacks and all these idiotic comments. How come nobody's looking at Tampa, who lost three games on home ice in overtime, who are supposed to be the most experienced playoff team in hockey, and lost on home ice? And what about these Bruins, the greatest team in history, with a big asterisk beside the number, with all due respect to Montreal Canadiens, give up a 3-1 lead and lose in game seven on home ice? And nobody's calling them chokers. I'm making fun of these guys.
I think if I'm going to play...
You know, it's a fine, fine line. And people have to say, you know, they want to trade Marner. They want to trade Matt. It's just stupid things like that. Like, you know, but again, you know, with Wayne Gretzky getting traded, anybody can be traded. And the scary part that every Maple Leaf fan should be worried about is now it's going to be in the hands of the corporate owners who are not hockey guys. And that's the scary part with the decisions some of these guys could make. That's what we should be worried about.
But, Mike, this isn't the first time. This is not the go first. If this was an isolated playoff series against Florida and it was one time and the Leafs had a history of success over the course of the last few years, I would tend to agree with you. You can't look at these things in isolation. I couldn't agree with you more. Florida was terribly underestimated. They played an extremely physical playoff-style game. But I think the frustration here, it comes in this sense. This didn't just happen this year. We've been to this rodeo, I think, a few times too many in the last few years. So then we got to say, you know what? How many times can we keep going banging our heads against the wall here? And I guess this will get us into a different topic. I couldn't agree with you more. I think you got to sit down, you got to calculate, you got to look at things, you got to evaluate. You don't just break stuff up for the sake of breaking it up. You have to have some reasoned, you know, whatever moves you have to make have to make sense. You don't do things out of emotional reactions. Like, you know, people, you know, I don't disagree with you when people say, oh, we got to ship Marner out of town. Well, you know what? what are you going to get for him if you're going to do that? Are you going to improve the team? You know, any decisions that have to be made in terms of improving the team. But the question is, how many more times are you going to give this specific edition of the Leafs? How many more opportunities are you going to give them? I'll come back to you, Mike, but I want to get Naz back in here.
Well, we got to
have we hit the line here? I guess that's the question.
We have a situation where there's two players going to be running out of contracts this year, and that's Nylander and Matthews. So what do you deal with that? Well, how do you deal with this? I think one of them has got to go, and who goes? Probably Matthews.
I said one of them's got to go. Okay. You're not going to give them away. You know,
these guys
are world-class players. You've got to get, you know, I mean, you just, you don't say, okay, we got to ship this guy out of town. No, you're not going to ship Austin Matthews out of town. You know,
they're in a situation like Tkachuk was in with Florida, right, from Calgary. And the same thing's going to happen with Nylander and Matthews.
Well, it's, if
there's
that,
only 1 year left, right?
If that type of trades, I mean, Lou, let me get back to you. I think the most critical decision before we even start, we've got to decide who's going to be running the show next year. They're going to have to make some decisions on Kyle Dubas because he was not extended. And he's got market value. If there's any Leaf that's got market value right now, it's Kyle Dubas. I mean, he won't have any problem finding a job somewhere else from what I've read. And then we've got the issue of Sheldon Keefe. So a lot of what happens with the players revolves around those two decisions. Lou, really quickly, we'll your response to that, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with Mike on that. So what are the Leafs going to do with Kyle and with Sheldon?
Well, obviously, like I said, this thing has to get blown up, and I know how sensitive you guys are about you're not going to give Marner, you're not going to give Matthews away for nothing. Obviously, you're going to make a deal that's going to be worthwhile bringing back. Now, what I'm looking at, okay, I'm looking at past experience. I'm looking at what Masai Ujiri did with the Raptors to get over the hump. He had to deal one of his best players, DeMar DeRozan. For us at Washington, we had to get over the hump. So we went out and dealt Mike Gardner and Larry Murphy to Minnesota to get Dino Cicerelli, Bobby Rouse, and a goaltender back. Okay, so how many years is this gone? Probably 5 or 6 years that this crew of four guys have been here. This one was more upsetting because I'm looking at Marner, I'm looking at Matthews. They had, and you look at their eyes, and you look at their demeanor, and you look at their body language, they wanted no part of this series. And that's what really hurts me more than anything. Mitch Marner, Mr. Pretty Boy, and I'm going to be blunt. Mr. Pretty Boy, he's got his glove still on with any altercation. Same with Matthews. A couple of guys from Tampa jump Morgan Riley for running Braden Point into the corner. Nobody does anything. They have their gloves still on. This is the kind of team that I'm looking at. I know they want to be here. I know they're happy. But, guys, if you want to move ahead, you got to make a change.
Anyways,
because
we're going
to get the same thing every single year from these guys. It's in their DNA. And I'm sorry, Mike Wilson. I know how hard it is to get rid of Mitch Marner and Mr. Matthews. Let's move Nylander. Two of the four have to go. Nylander and Matthews' contract ends up in 1 year. Tavares and Marner go up in 2 years. And this July 1st, Marner's contract kicks in where there's no trade clause.
Anyway, so Lou, on that note, Mike, I know you're itching to respond, and we're going to give you that opportunity. But we've got to go to break, Mike. When we come back from break, we'll let you take a crack at that. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best. At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, also in Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video and audio streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. The ultimate Leafs fan, the ultimate one, Mike Wilson. Mike, pretty heated discussion this morning. I'd like your thoughts on the following. You know, we've basically taken a crack at the playoffs now for the last 4 years. Leafs have lost the last 4 years in a row against teams that finished lower in the standings. So a decision has to be made this year. Are we going to continue to go forward with the core four, five, six, whatever you want to call them? Or does Dubas, whoever the next general manager might be, do you make changes? I think that's in nuts and bolts. That's the question.
Well, the first team that, well, maybe they should call the Chicago Cubs or the Boston Red Sox, who took almost 100 years to win.
Oh, don't say that, Mike. don't say that.
So the bottom line is every year is different, and winning teams make changes all the time. So changes are always going to happen. But to your point, yes, the Leafs do will have to make some changes, but it all depends on, you know, Cal Dubas has taken a lot of heat. But I think the thing is at least Nate Sands better be aware of, he has options to go somewhere else if he wants and get rid of listening to all this nonsense.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
So that's number one. Number two is Sheldon Keefe taking his heat about being on coach and all this other nonsense I heard throughout the playoffs. I mean, is it his fault that a 40-goal scorer, he can't play in the top six because he's very timid and doesn't want to engage in any kind of physicality at all? You know, I'm referring to William Nylander. The two of his most, his number one fence pair has to split up because they're returning the puck over unforced time after time after time. A couple of 100-point players weren't scoring. I mean, all these things that go on and on and on. Is it his fault? But first and foremost, what the Toronto Maple Leafs have to do is, yes, there'll be changes. But number one, let's not make a mistake. Like, Auston Matthews is a once-in-a-lifetime, probably the most gifted Maple Leaf to ever don the uniform. He's got silky smooth hands for a 6'3", 210-pound player that are just off the charts. And he can score. And by the way, he had 8 hits in the first 2 periods of that fifth game. The Leafs were leading the playoffs in hits. They were second or third in blocked shots. So it wasn't a case of that. Yeah, they weren't getting caught up in all the nonsense and the fighting and all that stuff. But look, you know, changes have to be made. And I think, you know, the acquisitions that Dubas made at the trade deadline with O'Reilly, especially Achari, Shen has just played out of his head and was awesome. McCabe didn't work out very well. His numbers weren't good, and, you know, they're going to have to work on him a little bit. But there will be a change. And the one guy I pick on, you know, I've picked on a lot, is Nylander. And I said before the playoffs started that the way he played his game, if he didn't change it, the Leafs were not going to advance. And yes, he scores the odd pretty goal. He scored a beauty to tie it up the other night. He has great skills. But you've got to be more physical in the playoffs to advance. And here's a money ball moment for the Maple Leafs. So, like, when they're trying to replace Jason Giambi, instead of trying to replace those 40 home runs, you go and find 3 guys who can hit 15 each. So, in this case, the 40-goal scorer making $6 million a year, find 3 Nola Charis who score 15 a year. Who would you rather have going in the corners for in the playoffs? When during the playoffs are won 3 feet from the boards all around the rink, and that's where it comes down to. And that was the biggest downfall of the Maple Leafs. But first and foremost, you got to get Auston Matthews on a contract and extended. Yes, if you have to move Marner, somebody may have to go. I don't disagree with Lou on that at some point. But Matthews, this idiotic talk about moving him, unless he doesn't want to stay. And what I've been told, his agent wants to wait until free agency. That's going to be next year. So there it is in a nutshell. But bottom line is everybody's got to take a breath and step back and just look at the bigger picture.
Nylander and Riley were the most dangerous guys, Mike. Nylander is when he had the puck, things were happening. The other guys, they weren't.
He never went anywhere near any physical contact. And Paul Maurice, the Florida Panthers, were channeling all the pucks to his side of the ice, knowing it would never get out. And that was done on purpose. You go take a look at the game film. I watched extremely closely. And then Keith adjusted extremely well by trying to stretch the Florida defense to give Marner and Nylander more room. And it worked. And it worked at times. But you watch where he plays. He plays the perimeter. He plays between the dots. And he goes nowhere near any. And it was embarrassing at times, some of the stuff he did going in the corners and stopping him. I don't want to pick on the kid too much because he does have skill.
Unbelievable.
You're not going to win with that.
I beg to differ somewhat on. I thought Nylander was their most dangerous player in quite a few of the games in the playoffs. He was, Mike. I mean, he absolutely was. You may not agree with the nature of his game. And we've been ultra critical of Nylander in the past on this show for the exact same reasons you've just expressed. But one coaching decision, I was a little bit perplexed. I didn't understand why he wasn't out on the first power play unit every single time. Why won't you have your most dangerous guy out there?
He's not. Watch where he goes at, Wally. When the puck,
I don't know. We're seeing. I got to be honest with you, Mike. I think we're seeing a different game. I mean, I think he made things happen that a lot of the other Leafs players weren't creative offensively. I'm going to turn it over to Lou. Let's give Lou a shot in here. And I know, Lou, you've never been a big Nylander fan, but let's what does Dubas do? Because I got a I don't think the Leafs are going to let Kyle go. I really don't. I think if Kyle goes, he'll go on his own initiative. I think there's a lot of teams that would sign up Kyle like really, really quickly. So the issue is, does Kyle want to stay more so than the Leafs thinking about letting him go? I got a sense that he made some really good moves at the trade deadline.
Too many.
I'm not so sure about that, Naz. It's difficult to from a chemistry point of view, get six new guys in.
Exactly.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't quibble with any of the moves that Kyle made this year. We all patted him on the back when he did it. I think he's 5 years into being a general manager in the NHL. He's obviously a very bright young talent. He will learn from his mistakes, and he saw what the team was missing in this series with Florida, and probably will try to fill some of those gaps. Lou, your thoughts on Kyle and Sheldon and what the Leafs have to do?
Well, I think Kyle Dubas is out the door, only on his behalf. He's going to want to leave. He is going to probably end up going to Pittsburgh, because those are the rumors that he's already on his way there. The Nylander thing, Mike Wilson, you hit the nail on the head. But we've had this discussion that what you see is what you get with Mr. Nylander. Yep. You're going to get great games and you're going to get bad games from him. He definitely is a shooter. And what I didn't see is, I don't understand on why Sheldon Keefe didn't put the big three together to create a mismatch against Florida with their scoring power. So there's certain decisions that are going to have to be made. And I'm looking at, again, I'm going to come down to Nylander, and Marner would be the two guys that definitely go. And you need strength down the middle, and you really can't let Mr. Matthews leave unless he wants to leave on his own, because right now you got Matthews, you got Tavares, and if you want to re-sign O'Reilly, then you got three guys down the middle that are pretty strong.
Yeah, I think this concept of shipping Matthews out of town, he's 1 year away from 60 goals and winning a Hart Trophy.
Unless you can make a deal with Chicago and get Bedard, right?
Mike, I got to ask you, let's talk about, we've talked about Dubas, let's talk about Sheldon Keefe. Okay, how many times have we come up short here? Enough times that we got to bring a sports psychologist on the show today, but is Sheldon secure? What do they do with Sheldon?
Well, who knows? I mean, again, as I said to you at the beginning of this, when if you got the corporate suits making decisions who don't understand hockey, that's going to be a dangerous thing. So anything can happen. But if you look at it and you talk to any hockey guy, if you look at Sheldon, here's the thing, and Lou, I think, will agree with this. 75 to 80% of the game today is technical, and that's the way the game has gone, because the players are bigger, faster, and it's smaller ice surface and all those things. But that 25 to 20%, has to be the hockey player, has to be a hockey player. They got to the league in an elite level by being a hockey player. At some point, that has to take over, meaning that if things aren't working and you're not a checker, go and hit somebody. And if you're not a scorer, try and drive to the net. Try and get in the way of something. Do something different, but be a hockey player. And so that part of it can't fall on Sheldon Keefe. That's got to be the accountability of the player. Now, Sheldon Keefe, if you look at his body language behind the bench last year, he had a piece of paper in his hand, and his head was spinning around. He looked like the McKenzie Financial head, if anybody knows anything about finance, going back and forth, looking at players up and down the bench. But look at his demeanor behind the bench after 1 year. He's growing into the job. He's more comfortable making his decisions. I thought he matched up lines extremely well. He was looking for weak spots when Florida had certain guys on the ice, and he did that on the road as well. And as I said to you, those points I made before, that's not on him if these guys aren't going to deliver. At some point, the players have to be accountable. And I think that they'd make a huge mistake getting rid of him, because he's growing in this job nicely. The players are getting very used to his style. And even the new players that came in, they all adjusted accordingly. Sam Lafferty played great in the playoffs. David Kemp, look at how his game has risen to the level it has under Sheldon Keefe. Nola Kachari, he should be one of the first guys they signed because that's one of the guys they've been missing, and he is a great bargain. They unfortunately will probably lose Bunting because he scored 23 goals, so he's due for a raise. And if they can get O'Reilly to come back on a friendly contract for the Maple Leafs, he'd be a great acquisition. So I think that just all those things aside, and under Keefe, he's made a lot of these players a lot better. He built this team to be more defensive responsible as the season went along, built for the playoffs. Unfortunately, it just didn't work.
Yeah, I tend to sort of disagree with that one as well, Mike. I don't know how many times you can keep going back. And at some point in time, you got to draw, you know, you can't change all the players. You know that. Players have to be held accountable. I agree with that. I have no issue with that. But at the end of the day, you know what? If it ain't working, you got to change somewhere. And in the history, it's not unusual for coaches to take the hit. The players aren't accountable, but it's the coach's job to motivate them. It's coach's job to put them.
No, it's not.
Of course it is. He's got to put them. He's got to put them. He's got to put them in the right positions to succeed.
And he does. Look at the old days when Bruce Boudreaux used to get called up, one of the most prolific goal scorers in the history of junior hockey, and he'd come up and play with two guys who were, Bash brothers. Look at the way the players are put in a position to succeed today when they come up. They're immediately playing. Look at Matthew Nyes. Look who he was playing with right off the bat. He moved right up the chart.
But they haven't. But they didn't win.
That's hockey.
But at some point in time, you got to change. You got to change the gears. A fresh voice in that change room with a different plan might make a difference. Look at the difference in Boston this year. I know they lost in the playoffs.
They're out the first round.
Yeah.
So they won as much as the Maple Leafs did.
Yeah, but
nothing.
But they've been
There's
more success.
They,
what success has Sheldon Keefe had in the playoffs, other than losing 4 years in a row to teams below him in the standings? Where's the accountability there?
Well, it's sports. It happens.
Yeah. Absolutely, it happens, and I'm not necessarily. And this, I'm not trying to dump all over Sheldon Keefe. I just think I don't disagree. I'm not suggesting his record during the regular season his percentage is some of the highest in NHL history for regular season games. But, you know, we said last year when the Leafs went out of the playoffs, we were going to evaluate this team, including the management, based on how they were going to do in the playoffs this year. Good run against Tampa, although they probably didn't outplay Tampa. But, you know, you did what you did to win. But, you know, I'm just wondering, where do you – it's almost I get the sense that this is – you got to draw the line, and this may be the time.
So who do you bring in?
Well, there's all kinds. Maybe bring in Bruce Boudreaux. available. He's available, from what I understand.
What about his playoff record?
Not the best, but,
You know, there was one stat that Dallas Eakins pointed out. 80% of the play is along the wall, the boards. And why do NHL teams, and the Leafs especially, have their smaller forwards playing wing instead of center? Mitch Marner is a center. He's not a winger. And they should be playing him accordingly at that position. Lou, what do you think?
Nylander, too. He's a center.
Because he's not probably responsible enough in a defensive end?
He's up for the sulky. Marner's up for the sulky. Holy cow.
Let's get back to what you guys were talking about, the coaches here. Okay. Look what the NBA has done. Five of the last seven championship teams, they've gotten rid of their coaches because they haven't produced. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, they got rid of him after 4 years being the top three teams because they haven't gotten by the second round in the playoffs. Masai Ujiri, got rid of their head coach to bring in Nick Nurse to change the temperament, to change the whole style for the Raptors. They made the big deal with DeRozan. Wayne Gretzky gets traded. Okay? You look at the big names, the big deals that have been made. Sometimes you have to change.
Yeah, you have to change.
Because in the dressing room, because guys get comfortable. They think that they can walk on water and do whatever they want, not produce when it counts, and it's a tougher pill to swallow when you play for 82 games and then you get knocked out in the first or second round.
Anyways, guys, and we could, you know as well as I do, we could continue this discussion for the rest of the summer, never mind the rest of the hour. Listen, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Mike, you know I have the highest respect for your hockey knowledge, and Lou as well. And this is what sports radio is all about. People have different opinions, and you know, we're not the ones going to be making those decisions. The suits down at on Bay Street are going to make those, and it'll be interesting what's going to happen in very short order. They're going to have to make some serious decisions very, very quickly, and we'll see what happens. And all the
one thing I want to say before I go,
yeah.
While we're picking Toronto, such a polarizing city, not only as a city but as a hockey team or in the sports teams, but how come nobody's saying anything? A kid by the name of Carter Verhaeghe was drafted in the third round by the Toronto Maple Leafs. He got one day at camp and was traded the next day or a couple days later.
With five other guys, and nobody did anything.
Goals. Hang on. And he scored 42 goals. How come nobody's saying anything about Lou? But if that was Kyle Dubas is at that, they'd be ready to hang him.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think Lamoriello should be back either, Mike. So don't worry about that. But
anyways,
make
guys,
a decision soon enough, right?
Guys, I got to wrap this up. We've got our next guest waiting on the line, Mike. As usual, we thoroughly enjoyed having you and your opinions. Lou, you're going to hang around for the rest of the show. We're going to take it to break, and when we come back from break, we're also going to our good people at Pizzaville want to give away some gift coupons, so we'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live video and audio streaming at www.zoomerradio.ca. As promised, got some Pizzaville gift coupons, three of them. Give us a call quickly at 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. The good people at Pizzaville, are feeling sorry for Toronto Maple Leafs fans, want to make your week a little bit better, call in. We'll get you a $50 gift coupon. And, of course, the great spokesman for Pizzaville this day is Morgan Riley, and he had a wonderful playoff series. We're thrilled to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Dr. Patrick Keelan. Dr. Keelan is a registered psychology PhD, certified by the Canadian Association of Cognitive and Behavioral Therapies. Dr. Keelan, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you. It's a very spirited conversation I've been listening.
Listen, we really appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much. I'm happy that you were able to listen to some of our spirited conversation. Dr. Keelan, Leafs fans are in a little bit of mourning. We've had a rough 10 years. In fact, this time 10 years ago, it started the whole thing.
A rough 66 years.
A rough 66 years. Anyways. You've done some work, and how do Leafs fans deal with these perpetual disappointments?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing to realize is that events that happen in our lives, whether they're positive ones or negative ones, the effects that they have on us are temporary. We tend to overestimate the impact that they will have. The disappointment that you have, it's expected, it's reasonable to have, but it will decline fairly rapidly. So it's kind of just getting through this period and managing it. It's what we call hedonic adaptation. Events and their effect on our moods, they tend to fade, positive or negative, over time. And I think the key thing is to manage that disappointment so that it doesn't get out of hand, so it doesn't get too intense, and that it doesn't go on for too long. And I think those would be the starting points, I would say.
Doctor, before I turn it over to my co-host, it's interesting you say that they don't last. Every one of my buddies, every one of my... we go through the same thing every year when the Leafs lose in the playoffs. I'm done. I'm not going to watch them again, and it's never going to happen again. And then... come September, October, we're right back into it. Is that the cliche? Hope springs eternal.
Well, I think it hits on the point that I was making about the disappointment being temporary. Events do have an impact on our mood, but it tends to be temporary. What has a much bigger effect on our mood than our lives and our emotional well-being is the activities that we engage in, and I would suspect the reason that the vast majority of Leafs fans are going to go back to watching them next year, despite yet another disappointment, is because of the enjoyment that you get throughout the year through the activity of following the Leafs and the camaraderie that you get by bonding with Leafs fans and discussing them. And you know, a very entertaining year this year for them, a very good team. Won a first-round series for the first time in several years. So, I mean, I think it's that thing that people can focus on to get back on track, as well as, you know, having balance in your life. I mean, it's great to be a Leafs fan. I'm a big Winnipeg Jets fan. But I don't have, like, all my identity invested in it. If it's too much in that way, it can get harder to... recover from the disappointment. But yeah, supporting your team in conjunction with other enjoyable and worthwhile goals in your life, then I think you got a good mix.
What can you do for me? I'm a Leafs fan, a Bills fan, and a Blue Jays fan. How do you like that? It's been a tough time for me. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. See, yeah. The Bills had their have had their shares of disappointment. Leafs at least won the cup way back when, and I actually lived in Toronto when the Blue Jays won their back-to-back World Series.
So, yeah, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad. 92, 93, not so bad. But
I was actually in Toronto as well when in 93 when they had a great run to the cup, and I think it makes the point I've been trying to make. I mean, they did ultimately get eliminated by Los Angeles in the conference final, but that run to the cup, I mean, I remember that run and how enjoyable it was and how exciting it was and how great it was bonding with my friends over that. So, I mean, those are the memories that really make the difference as far as the effect on our well-being, I believe.
You're making me feel better already. Thanks, Doctor.
Thank you.
Lou, you want to chime in? Lou, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just, you know what, he makes a lot of good points. I think it's more or less that, you know, the support system or the support team that you have around you, get away for a little bit and kind of get everything, get your head cleared out. And more or less, you go through the summer doing other things and getting your mind off the sad sack Leafs and get your hopes up again at the beginning of October, because we know that this team does play well for 82 games. It does, but in the playoffs, it just seems that they don't come to the forefront when they need be. And you know, obviously, you guys know I'm a big Yankee fan, so I went through some good times.
Yeah, but you've had some good years.
Yeah, in the late 90s, early 2000s. But overall, everybody goes through tough times. I don't see too many teams that ride this wave for a lot of years. We're talking maybe 20 or 30 years. There's always peaks and valleys. And really, if you have a good support team around, knowing that to be left alone instead of having somebody keep on badgering you on what's going on, it's for the mind, I think it's great.
Dr. Keeling, I want to pick up on something you just commented on, which is the camaraderie. We get drawn back into the camaraderie, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Even though we have these disappointments, we actually enjoy talking about the disappointments with our buddies. It's sort of like group therapy. But I want to ask the perspective of a different perspective, Dr. Keeling, the perspective of the players. Let's talk about some of the psychological hurdles that they have to overcome. You've got a group of players here, and you know, you've heard the banter where the discussion's already started in Toronto. We got to break up the core four. We got to break up the core four. You know, they don't know how to win. They can't push it past the finish line. What's the psychological effect on the players, and how do you overcome and turn sort of get them into a psychology of winning, if such a thing exists?
I mean, I think one part would be learning from the mistakes of this year and why they got eliminated and make changes to address that. That can be things involving execution on the ice, but it could also, as you were just alluding to it, involve making changes in personnel, whether that involves the core four or other players. I think once, you know, that's taken care of, that can lead to greater hope among the players and greater, you know, motivation to work hard. And then the other piece would be for each player, I believe, kind of taking care of their piece. All I can control is really ultimately what I do. And what did I do this year that I did well, that I can continue to do and take pride in to keep my motivation up? And also, what can I do to improve so that my contribution to the effort will be one that's going to help us to maximize our potential?
Now, I understand sports psychologists are pretty common in professional sports, and probably every professional sports franchise either has one or they have one on retainer. And this is your field. You get asked by a professional franchise to come in and do a program for the players. Give us an idea. You've got to step in, and I'm pretty sure the Leafs have psychologists they deal with. But you're retained by Kyle Dubas to come in next September, or even probably work with them over the summertime. What do sports psychologists actually do with players? How do they work with them to get them focused or change whatever you do? What kind of programs do you do?
I mean, I think the first step would be doing assessment at both the individual and the team level to find out what are the things the individuals and team are doing well and not well on from a psychological standpoint, and then start making working with the team and each individual to make changes to improve things. So with the team, Sometimes there's dynamics that need to be addressed from that perspective. Sometimes there's not enough support for each player in the team. Sometimes there's internal conflict on the team that needs to be managed. That's been an issue with the Winnipeg Jets up until the present, I believe. So like that would be an example from the team perspective. And with individuals, there can sometimes be some players who need some help in terms of psychological support to get their mind working for them to the optimum to help their play on the ice be at its best.
You must have a real hard time with being a Winnipeg Jets fan. How do you get through it? Especially with them losing team and then bringing it back.
It's interesting, the contrast here. I mean, the Leafs are disappointed this year with their second-round exit. But, I mean, Winnipeg Jets, I mean, we were at the top of the standings shortly after Christmas and just barely scraped in the playoffs and then got eliminated in the first round. You know, you guys, I think we're in before the break, we're alluding to Boston and their season. They had record-breaking points this year, and then they got knocked out in the first round. So it's... I think it's all relative, but in each case, both with the Bruins and with the Jets and the Leafs, it's the disappointment is very salient right now. But that's going to fade, and as you said a few minutes ago, before you know it, after you've regrouped and taken a little break, you get back on track and start building hope for the next season, and then at that point the you know, the disappointment is pretty much in the rearview mirror.
Lou?
You know, you couldn't have said it any better. It is, you know, players have to look at themselves sometimes. And the one thing, being an ex-athlete, we're never wrong. I don't know if players nowadays can actually look at themselves in the mirror and ask themselves, did they do enough to put this team over the top? And I'm looking at some of the players from the post-game interviews. I don't think they think that it's any of their fault. Now, we're talking about multi-million-dollar players here, and I'm talking about all sports, too. Why do certain players, superstar players, cannot come through the forefront on the biggest game or the biggest stage of their lives? We're talking game sevens. Well, I'm talking about Klay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, who always has a bad shooting night when it comes to crunch time. We're talking about, obviously, the Leaf four there, that it just seems in the playoffs, they seem never to be there. Like, why is that with professional athletes?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're alluding to a couple of points there. One is the ability of certain players to come through under pressure and handle it effectively on the big stage in the biggest moments. And then you've also talked about the idea of certain players be more likely to take responsibility for their mistakes and learn from them and do well, whereas others are less likely to do that. Some of that is... the individual themselves in terms of their personality. Some of it is as well as the habits that they practice and the players that do the best, both in terms of performing well under pressure and focusing on what they can do to improve so that they get better. You know, it's usually a combination of their personality leans in that direction and also they've really worked on practicing that. So in terms of the taking responsibility piece, I mean, I hear this all, you know, regularly in post-game interviews where some players, even coaches, will focus on, you know, what they need to do better despite things outside their control, like bad calls by referee or what have you, whereas others, you know, focus too much on that other stuff, and it doesn't do them well as far as improving. It can be sometimes personality-wise, you know, an element of being a little bit less secure. You know, lower self-esteem can sometimes play into it. If you're more internally confident, you're more likely to be able to admit what you did wrong without it being a threat to your self-esteem.
We've been talking to Dr. Patrick Keelan. Doctor, we'd love to chat with you for another half an hour, but this is live radio and we've run out of time. We certainly will want to get you back at some point in time. Got so many different areas I'd love to explore with you. This has been a fascinating conversation. I'll just leave it with you, Doctor. Sports has left two numbers in my mind. Every time I see these two numbers, it reminds me of things. The two numbers are 48 and 13. Naz, you probably recognize those numbers. 48 was 48 yards. Scott Norwood missed that field goal. And 13 is the 13 seconds the Buffalo Bills had, and they couldn't close the game against Kansas City Chiefs.
You're hurting me, Walt.
That's the effect of sports. I mean, Dr. Keelan, we thoroughly enjoyed this session. Thank you so much for your expertise and your insights, and we certainly would want to get you back. Thanks so much for this.
Thank you guys very much. I very much enjoyed it.
We certainly did. Lou, thank you so much. Naz, Leaf season's over. We always said we'd stay on the air until the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. I don't know. I don't know how many more years of this we have.
The Bills win too.
Anyways, producer's giving me the cutoff sign. To all our listeners, to all the mothers, have a great Mother's Day. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. Thanks so much for joining us.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.